If you happen to see, you know, any of our deputies out running around or Pleasant View Police, any of these folks, tell them thank you. They've spent a lot of hours in the last couple weeks working to do their very best for this family. And I was down to our police department on Friday doing some stuff. And, man, just reminded of how blessed we are in this community, this day and age. I mean, we know how crazy this world is that we live in. We are blessed with our police departments. I don't know if you realize that or not, but we really are. So say thank you to them. They do an incredible job. I got to spend some time with the sheriff on Friday, and man, he's an amazing guy too. Just so thankful for them. So let's jump in. How about it? We're going to talk about baptism today. And so as we do that, I'm going to ask if you have a Bible to go ahead and get it out. If you don't have a Bible, our ushers have Bibles, and they will bring you one. I'd love for you to follow along with us as we're talking about this today. And some of you may be saying, well, you know, I know all about baptism. I don't need to hear this. I'm going to challenge you in that. I want to challenge you. There's a lot of misconceptions about baptism. And, you know, when it comes to, if you need a Bible, just throw your hand up and let them give you one. If you feel sorry for one of our ushers, don't let them walk the aisle all alone, you know, okay? One of those kind of deals. But no, you know, there's so many misconceptions and you know, people say, well, how do you know what to believe about something like baptism? You know, I heard this person say this, heard this person say that. And I say, we just go to Scripture. You know, I'm not interested in opinions as much as I'm interested in what Scripture says about things like this, and so, and in all things. And so, baptism is one of those things that we do. We hear so many people say so many different things about it. There's so many thoughts about it. There's people that believe that it saves you and different things. We're going to talk about all that, okay? So let's talk about that today. If you've got a Bible, if you want to turn open to Matthew chapter 3, we'll go to that in just a few minutes. But baptism is a little bit like, I'm not saying it is, but it is a little bit like a publicity stunt. You know what a publicity stunt is, right? You know, case in point of a publicity stunt, back in 1996, Taco Bell, God love them, they decided to announce, okay, they decided to announce that they had bought the Liberty Bell. And they were changing the name of it to, and I forget what the name was, like Liberty Taco Bell or something. I forget. But anyway, they announced this. Now, this is back before social media. So you got to kind of put that in context. But, I mean, you know, for back then, this caused a stir. I mean, like they announced it that morning. And by that night, it was on the evening news everywhere. And people were flipping out. I mean, patriotic people, which there's a whole bunch of patriotic people here. You know, people were flipping out. They're like, what in the world? They bought the Liberty Bell and now they're going to like dress it up like a chihuahua or something or, you know, whatever, you know. And so they did this. Well, it was April 1st of 1996. It was an April Fool's Day joke. You know, and so, you know, it was a publicity stunt. And the publicity stunt apparently worked because according to their reports, they made at least $1 million more in sales in that day and the next day, you know, just from this little stunt that they did. Another one is, if you're familiar with Guinness, the beer, you know, back in 1959, they were trying to build their brand and get people to know who they were and all this. And so they took the idea of the message in a bottle thing and they took bottles and they put messages in them and threw them out to sea, just to see if it could help build. But they didn't do just a few. They did 150,000 bottles with messages in them thrown out in the sea. Now, this day and age, I mean, the EPA would be all over that, wouldn't they? They'd be like, what do you think you're doing throwing all this stuff in the ocean? You know, your bottles are going to kill our seals or something, you know, or whatever. You know, but that's what they did. That was their publicity stunt. You know, baptism is a little bit like, I'm not saying it is, it is a little bit like a publicity stunt because it is something that is done in public. And it's supposed to be done in public. And we're going to talk about that. Let's read and see what Scripture says. I want to share this passage with you out of Matthew. And in this passage in Matthew, we've got John the Baptist. Many of you have heard of John the Baptist. Maybe you don't really know a whole lot about who he is, but basically, God had laid it on John's heart that he was going to be a guy who was going to help prepare the way for Jesus to come. That he was teaching people and letting people know about the Messiah that was coming, that was going to come and save the world. And so John the Baptist was going and preaching and teaching this message, but he was also doing something else. He was baptizing people. And I'm going to get into the history lesson on where baptism comes from and all that good stuff. But John the Baptist is baptizing people. And in this passage of Scripture, we see John baptizing people. And let's go ahead and read this. Matthew verse 3, and we're kind of picking up in a little bit of the middle here, but we'll talk about it. Chapter 3, verse 11. It says, I baptize you, this is John speaking, says, I baptize you with water for repentance. He's answering a question as to why he's baptizing these people. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now let's jump down to verse 13. And it says this. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. Now let me help you make sure that you got that clear. Jesus came to John to be baptized. Jesus, the one who would save us, came to John to be baptized. Okay? Now, if I'm running that baptism service that day, and Jesus comes to me and is like, here I am, baptize me, I'd be like, dude, you probably ought to hold me under instead of me baptizing you. You for a long time, you ought to hold me under, you know? I'm not worthy, you know? Wayne's World, right? So, you know, it's this amazing picture that we have. And in verse 14, it says, John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So we have this picture of Jesus being baptized. And before that, we have John explaining a little bit about baptism. And if you go back to that verse that John was talking about there in verse 11, he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. John is helping to help people understand why he's doing these baptisms. John had seen other people being baptized. This isn't the beginning of baptism. We don't really know when the beginning of baptism is, because we know that people were being baptized before John came along. And John saw this, and he said, you know, that this is something that I think is fitting for us to do when we confess, when we repent. And that's, you see him saying, you know, that he baptizes people, you know, with water for repentance. Well, let me kind of take you back into history just a little bit. Back in the day, you had the city of Jerusalem, and the river ran through town, and everything happened at the river. It was the marketplace. It was the place where people went to take a bath. It was the place where people would go to get water. Everything happened at the river. So crowds of people were around all the time. And historically speaking, what was happening were people were being baptized at times in their life when there might be some kind of a change in their life. And so when there'd be some kind of change in their life, to let people know, they would be baptized in the river in front of all these people, not some kind of private, like, hey, I want to be baptized in my bathtub kind of thing, but in front of all these people, they would be baptized to show that they'd turned over a new leaf or something new had happened in their life or whatever. Well, John comes along, and he sees this, and he's like, man, there's no greater life change than what God can do in somebody's life. For somebody that has repented of sin and come, you know, man, that's the kind of person that needs to be baptized. We should do that. And so John starts baptizing people. Jesus comes along. Jesus says, John, baptize me. John starts to argue. Jesus stops him. He's like, nope, this is the right thing for us to do. Jesus sets an example for us with baptism. He wants us to see that it's something that he wants us to do. Why is that? Why is that? You know, is it so important that it has to be done this exact way or whatever? Probably not. But the point of what Jesus is most concerned about is he's setting the example for us to see that we should not be ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1. So this understanding of baptism, you know, being, you know, in front of people and with water, and some people are like, why is it with water? I don't know why they picked water. I don't know why they were doing it that way. I mean, again, we've got the history lesson to go with it. But if you want to get into the Greek about it, the Greek word for baptism is baptizo, and it actually means to submerge. So, you know, people say, well, why do you guys baptize in a horse trough? Well, because the horse trough was cheap when we started the church. That's why. You know, it was $100 from Royal King right there. I bought it. I can attest to it, okay? And it was great getting to tell the people at Royal King we were going to baptize people in that thing the day that I bought it. They were like, really? I had like two or three people want to talk to me about the church right then and there. Some of you are like, what is Royal King? I'm like, it's a farmer thing, okay? I farmed. But anyway, so, you know, with all that being said, you know, why do we baptize with water? Well, we're just modeling what we've seen. I mean, that's just it. We're just modeling what we've seen, you know, and I've had people say, well, will you come baptize me or baptize me in the middle of the week? And when we've done that, we have done some of those, but if you've noticed, we video those suckers. And the reason being is because we believe with all of our hearts that people need to see what has happened in this person's life. In this day and age, we can video that, and we can put it on the internet. We can show it on these screens. We've got one of the young men from our church that a couple summers ago, apparently God did an amazing work in his life, and God's really shown him that since then, and he's been convicted about being baptized. He's at college now. He went to college and just recently went to college, like he's a freshman, and he's being baptized this morning in Cookeville, Tennessee. And so I've sent word, we've sent word, we're like, I want the video. We want that video, and we want to show it here. Because he's part of our body. He's a part of our church. So, you know, for us to kind of have this understanding of what baptism is about, this is about us being public. Publicity stunt. The idea of being baptized. A lot of people have a lot of questions. Why should I be baptized? Well, I think before we get too far into that, I think I have to ask this question. Have you been baptized? Have you been baptized? And if so, when? And if you have, when, you know, when you're asking yourself that question, when, I think the way you have to ask that question is, was I baptized before or after I came to know Jesus as my Savior? You say, well, Chris, why is that important? I'm going to talk about that. But I think that's an important question for us to ask. The next question, I think, is who should be baptized? Who should be baptized? And there's a lot of misconceptions about who should be baptized. There's a lot of misconceptions about what it does. We're going to talk about that. Let's talk about that for just a minute. Who should be baptized? Is it just people that want to turn over a new leaf? Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you want to go down to Cheatham County Beach, what I call down here, the creek over here where everybody parks their cars and hangs out. You know, if you want to go to Cheatham County Beach, or if you want to go to the dam or whatever, and you want to baptize yourself in front of some people to show them that, you know, you changed your life a little bit or something like that. I mean, you could do that, but it's not biblical baptism. What about, I made a commitment. I did something. I rededicated my life, which is not actually a scriptural thing. I made a commitment. I rededicated my life. I want to set an example for my kids. I want to set an example for my kids. Are those reasons to be baptized? No, not really. It's not scriptural reasons to be baptized. There's really only one reason to be baptized. We're going to talk about it in a second. And that is for anyone that has received Jesus to let the world know that he has changed them and he has saved them. Misconceptions about what baptism does. Number one, that it saves you. in this area especially, there are a lot of people that believe that baptism saves you. They want to be baptized because they think that it saves them. Let me encourage you with something. The water in this thing is good old tap water from the Cumberland, okay? There's nothing special about it. There's obviously nothing special about the trough. We don't even decorate it. We went to a church plant while we were on vacation recently. They at least decorated their trough. They had like stuff on front of it. And I was like, man, that's kind of nice. They've gone the extra mile. Make that thing not look like a trough. We're just like, here's the trough. Welcome to 24. We meet in a warehouse. It's not fancy. But there's a lot of people that believe that baptism saves you. There's a lot of people that think things like this, that it washes them clean. I'll ask people, I always, if I've ever interviewed you for baptism, if I've ever sat down and talked with you for baptism, which I feel like I've done that with 1,000 people in the last couple of weeks, if I've ever done that with you, then the first question I ask you is this: why do you want to be baptized? And I'm fishing, just so you know, I'm fishing. And sometimes it's for my own enjoyment. Sometimes I just like hearing what people have to say, you know, or whatever. But I hear things like, well, it's gonna wash me clean. Let me tell you what, that is not going to wash you clean. I don't know if you've seen your tap water recently, but, you know, it plus that horse trough, not going to wash you clean. You know, it may be the same thing that comes out of your shower, but you're not getting any soap today, so you might actually be dirtier after getting out of it. I hear people say things like this: it's going to make me whole, you know. No, it doesn't save you, it doesn't wash you clean, and it doesn't make you whole. And here's why: Jesus already did. If you have trusted and put your faith in Christ, Jesus has already done those things. You know, and I know here's our tendency, because this is just us as sinful man. Sinful man, like, we want to like do something like tangible to like go like hold on to be like, I did this, you know. But the truth is that salvation is a gift from God. It's not something that we can do. It's something that He does. It is a gift. In fact, I want to read Ephesians 2 verse 8 to you. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says this. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." I'll read that again. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God." Not your own doing. Which means this: baptism can't save you, because you decide when you're going to be baptized. And if you can decide when you're going to be baptized, and you thought that that was going to save you, well, Scripture teaches otherwise, because it says it's not by your own doing, it is the gift from God. In fact, verse 9, it goes on, it says this. It says, "Not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You know what that means? That means that we can't earn our salvation. That means that we can't earn our one-way road trip to heaven, okay? It means that we can't earn it. We can't earn God's love. Did you know you can't earn God's love? People trying all the time. I watch people try to earn God's love all the time. And it's because of the legalistic society that many of us have grown up in. You got to do, and you got to, and we're instructed to follow the Lord and do these things. But at the end of the day, we're to do that because we love the Lord. We're to do that because our heart desires to glorify Him, not because of the checkbox thing where we're like, well, we're going to try to keep perfect attendance, and we're going to make sure that we serve. We're going to make sure we do this and do that. And obviously those are great things. But let me tell you, folks, if you're doing any of that out of some obligation or guilt, you've missed it. And you're probably miserable doing those things. Don't fall into that. It's so easy to fall into that. We should be having a good time doing this. We should be having a good time following Jesus and allowing Him to present opportunities where we get to minister to others and love on others. Don't miss that. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Because see, as sinners, That's what we want to do. As sinners, we're like, look at what I did. Look at this thing that I built. Look at this thing that I conquered. You know, that's what we want to do. And so what Paul is teaching us here is he's trying to help us to kind of get a grasp and a picture to see that we can't ever say, well, I saved myself. No, you did not. Jesus saves you. We need Jesus. He is the only way. And in verse 10, he goes on and says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are created to do these good things. We are created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But we are not saved by them. So we know that baptism doesn't save us. We know that it doesn't wash us clean. We know it doesn't make us whole. And all of a sudden you're going, why in the world do we even do it? Why do we even do it? Here's why. It makes a statement. It makes a statement. It makes a statement to this world in a couple of ways. We see in Scripture the understanding that it symbolizes a couple things. One of those things is an old life and a new life. Isn't that awesome? I mean, think about that. Think about your past. I think about my past, and I think about some of the boneheaded things I've done over the years, you know. I realize, man, God has been so gracious to me, so merciful to me, to allow me to be forgiven for those things. But that's his work, and he wants to do that. But he, you know, when he does that in me, when he did that in me and continually forgives me, he's glorified in that. He's made known. I'm able to testify to other people. And they say, well, how do you know you're safe? I'm like, because of what Jesus did on the cross. I had one of the best questions asked to me this week from someone who just recently came to know Christ. And they said, how is it that God can continue to forgive me when I continue to sin? That's a great question. That's a great question. How is it that God could continue to forgive me when I continue to sin? And I said, well, do you believe that the blood of Jesus is enough to cover your sins? And they said, well, sure, absolutely. I said, okay. I said, well, if you look in Scripture, there's this thing called righteousness. And Jesus has it, and when we receive him as our Savior, he puts it on us. I've done an illustration before where I actually like had a coat that I had somebody come up here on stage, and I put this coat on them. And I said, you know, it's like this. When we receive the righteousness from Christ, when God the Father sees us from then on, he doesn't see the sinners that we are. He sees the righteousness of Jesus on us. That's how we are continually forgiven, even for the sin that we will commit tomorrow. Of course, Paul's very clear, and he says it doesn't mean it's a license to sin. We're not supposed to go on sinning and all that, and he talks about all that. But here's the truth, and I really think this is true, that if Jesus really saved us, then our heart would not be to want to continue to sin. Our hearts wouldn't be like, you know, well, I'm just going to do whatever I want to now that I got Jesus in my life. I'll just go on sinning and do whatever because God's going to forgive me anyway. I don't think that we'd really do that because, I mean, Jesus saved us. If somebody did something where they saved our life, we would feel forever indebted to them. We would never want to hurt their feelings. We would always want to, you know, that's what Jesus did. Jesus saved our life. And if Jesus saved our life, then my go-to, if I know that he is king, if I know he is Lord of lords, and that I know that I really desperately need him to lead me in this life, then I don't want to break his heart. I don't want to sin. Yeah, I want to sin sometimes because I'm tempted and you know, it's always so attractive and all that kind of stuff. But at the end, I feel awful, right? We feel awful. We're like, man, why I do that? But see, that conviction comes to lead us back to him. Somebody that doesn't have the conviction, that's when we start to worry. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's something that you need to think about. Maybe that's something you need to talk to somebody about. We'd love to talk to you about that. Be glad to. Baptism makes a statement that there was an old self and that there's a new self. But it also does something else. In Romans 6:4, it says this. It says, "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." And so baptism symbolizes this old self that dies and this new self that comes, but it also symbolizes the death and the resurrection of Jesus himself. That we were buried in death with him, and that we were raised to walk in newness of life, that we've been made new creatures. I don't know about you, but I need that. I need that. I need to be reminded of that too. I need to be reminded of the work that God has done in my life, that he has made me new. I need that. Because there's so many days it's easy to start thinking, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, doggone it, people don't like me, whatever it is, you know. And we get down on ourselves and we forget that Jesus bought us. And he made us new. He's given us new legs and a new we're new creations. We've been given a new heart. That he wants to use us for his kingdom. So why in the world are we being baptized? Why in the world fool with it? Jesus modeled it, maybe is one reason. Another reason is it's an outward expression of the work that God has done on the inside. And thirdly, it's going public. It's taking a stand. It's showing that we're not ashamed of the gospel. It makes us ask the question, and this is a good question for us to ask, even if you've already been baptized. Makes us ask the question, who are we known for? Who are we known to be? By the people that know us, who are we known to be? That's a great question to ask. Marcus Mariota, the new quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, our hope, right? Our hope. Marcus played his first regular NFL game last Sunday afternoon. I don't know if you got to watch it. I got to watch most of it, which was awesome because I don't get to watch a lot of that. And I really enjoy watching the Titans play. This was his rookie game, regular season rookie game. And Marcus threw 4 touchdowns as our new quarterback. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. And we won the game. And that's great. We love winning the game. You know, I think that there's something even better than that, though. What was funny was, like, before the season really started, you had all of these people talking about, like, is this guy going to be good enough? We got him on a first-round draft. And, in fact, the game that we played last week, we played against a team that got the guy that was drafted even before him. You know, so Marcus was, like, number 2, and this guy's number 1. And In the mix of all this, you know, everybody's, you know, it's like all these talk shows and radio shows, and they spend all the day long talking about all this stuff of, you know, what could be or what might not be and what they think about it. Because they really know because they're really hanging out on the field with these guys, right? And so we got this guy, and everybody's got question marks. Is he going to be a good football player? Well, Sunday, he proved he's a pretty good football player. He proved that he knows how to throw touchdowns, which is what we want a quarterback to do. And we won the game, and great as winning the game is, I think what's even cooler is something that happened in the midst of all that. Because he threw 4 touchdowns, and a lot of people probably don't know this, he actually set an NFL record, not set it, tied it, excuse me, he tied an NFL record with Frank Tarnington from back in the old school days. Frank set that record himself in 1961 in his rookie appearance in a regular season NFL game. He threw for 4 touchdowns. He actually did a little more than that too. We won't diminish what Marcus has done here. So Marcus has gone from this guy who all these people are like, I don't know if he's going to be good. I don't know if he can make it. College is so different than NFL. To showing up first game in regular season ball and he throws four touchdowns. Even if he never threw another touchdown again, let's hope that doesn't happen. Even if he did that, he's actually written his name into the record books. He has changed who people think that he is. And I hope he continues to be great, obviously. For so many of us, we could stand to revamp who people think that we are. And for some folks, that might be, you know what? I've never been baptized. Maybe I need to let the world know what Jesus has done in my life. Maybe this is the beginning of that. That's where that starts. But let me remind you of something. It doesn't save you. It doesn't make you clean. And it doesn't make you whole. Only Jesus does those things. So the real question that you have to ask yourself today is this. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Have you ever trusted in Christ to be enough to forgive you of those sins? Have you? Is that something that's ever happened in your life? Because if not, I'm gonna just go on and say, if God's speaking to your heart about that, don't ignore it. Don't ignore Him. He wants to do a great work in your life. I'm reminded of the mission that God has called us to as believers. You know what that mission is? Matthew 28, you don't have to go there. Just follow along with me. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And what's it say? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Why would it be important that we would baptize them? Because we're making disciples. We're called to make disciples. And part of us being called to make disciples is that we're called to lead other people to Jesus that aren't afraid of letting the world know who He is in their life. That they would be willing to also not be ashamed of the gospel, that they would be willing to be baptized. Baptism, by the way, is something that we love to do at 24, and we can do it any Sunday. Any Sunday, we'd love to baptize. We're baptizing people today. We're going to baptize somebody next week, too. Let me tell you a little story, and I'm going to close with this. When I was a kid, and for those of you that don't know, I was a preacher's kid, which like makes you extra spiritual or something. It makes you an extra knucklehead in the church is what it does, because then like you get cocky and thinking, you start telling all your kid friends, like when you're a kid, like my daddy's the boss of the church, you know, and stuff like that, which I keep meaning to teach my kids to say that, but I haven't done that yet, which is so not true. But anyway, I grew up in the church. I was at church all the time. I was at church 7 days a week, practically some weeks, just living there, hanging out in the office. My parents would not hire babysitters. And that was a good thing. God's used all that in my life. But in the midst of all that, I knew a lot about Jesus, and I grew to have this understanding of something. And that understanding was this. That understanding was that if I walked an aisle and I would get baptized, I'd get wet in the thing. Of course, they had the thing back behind the choir loft, you know. And if I got wet in the thing, And I said I love Jesus, which I love Jesus. I was like, you know, I think I love Jesus. He seems to be like a pretty good guy. Looks pretty good on a felt board. And in the midst of that, I had this understanding, you know, if I do these things, then I'm told I won't go to hell and everybody will be really happy with me. And that seemed like a really good deal. And I'm just telling you, like sinner self, like what was going through my little sinner kid mind at that moment in time in my life. Was that the not going to hell was pretty cool, but also the everybody being happy with me. This was a Sunday night when I was like really thinking this through, okay? At a Sunday night service at this church, my dad preached at in Princeton, Kentucky, which is where I grew up. And in that moment, I thought, if everybody's really happy with me, there's a good chance that after church, we'll get to go to Dairy Queen. And I was right, by the way. I was right. And so I did. So one Sunday night, I'm like, well, yeah, I think I love Jesus, and I don't want to go to hell. Go to Dairy Queen, you know, cool. And so I walked the aisle, and I remember walking up to my dad, and he's got tears in his eyes, you know, and he's like, son, what's going on? And, you know, and so then I go, and we, you know, and then I think it was like the next week I got baptized, you know. So, and ate ice cream. And dip cone. And then what happened was years later, I was a freshman in high school. I was going into my freshman year of high school, and I was at a youth camp that my youth minister had done. This probably has a lot to do with why I went into youth ministry and believe in camp ministry and a lot of those things, just getting students away from the world for a period of time to spend some time together and with the Lord and focused on that. God just uses that a lot of times. And he used that in my life. And in this particular moment in Panama City Beach, the redneck Riviera of the world, God spoke to my heart. And it wasn't audible, okay? But it was conviction. And this was the conviction. The conviction was this: Chris, you know a lot about me, but you don't really know me. And in that moment, I had like this struggle of like, but God, everybody thinks I'm a Christian. I can't mess that up. I've got like an image or something to uphold. And thank goodness the conviction outweighed my being stupid. And I listened to the Lord and I prayed and I said, God, forgive me and save me. I need you. And he did. And from that day forward, my life has been completely different. I'm still an idiot sinner, but it's just this reminder of how much I desperately still need Jesus every day of my life. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for the people that ministered to me. I'm so grateful for the leaders that spent that time with me and poured into me and discipled me. I didn't even realize what they were doing. After that happened, I told everybody, and which was the fear part of me. You know, I wasn't really sure I really wanted to do that, but I followed through with it. And I remember my dad and I sitting down having this conversation, and he said, "Son, have you thought about being baptized?" And I said, "Dad, I've already been baptized." He's like, "Yeah." Remember me asking you, "When have you been baptized? On which side of your salvation?" And he said, "Son," he said, "I'll just remind you of what baptism is about." He said, it's up to you. He said, "I'm not going to tell you what to do." He said, "But biblically speaking, baptism is something that we do to tell the world of what Jesus has done in our hearts." And I said, "Wow, I guess I need to do that, don't I?" He said, "That's up to you." And I said, "Yeah, let's do it." So I was baptized twice. And some of you have a story like that. Some of you, somebody might be sitting here right now and might be going, "You know what, I'm kind of thinking I'm where you were at camp. I'm not sure that I know Jesus. I think I know a lot about him, but I don't know that I've ever received him as my Savior. I don't ever remember some moment where I know that God saved my soul." I'm telling you, I've gotten to talk with some of these people that are being baptized today and next week, and they're talking to me and sharing with me about when God saved them. When God, and they're giving me these descriptions of experiences of things that have to be from God. If you have a question about that, you don't have to have a question about that. If God is speaking to your heart about that, today could be the day. Like before you leave here today, that could happen in your life. God wants to save you. He has already sent Jesus. He can't love you more. You can't earn more of his love. He's given you all of his love. And he may be just waiting for you to receive that and allow that to change your life. And I don't say that with guilt today, and I hope that you know that. But I do say this: if the Lord's speaking to your heart, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. We'd love to talk with you, hang out with you, pray with you, whatever. Baptism is about following Jesus and doing something that shows that we are not ashamed of the gospel, that we will tell the world. It's saying that if I have a publicity stunt, that my publicity stunt's name is Jesus. Let's pray together.